Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Well, hello out there, fellow Army families, and welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, show 444. I am your host, Tara Crooks.
And I'm your host, Paula Swanson. It's Monday, November 4th, 2013, and we are so glad that you have decided to join us tonight and that we're finally here.
For those of you who are joining us live, you'll notice that we're about 15 minutes later than normal tonight. We have some issues with Blog Talk Radio and their time change, and we hope to get you caught up really quick so that we can have our main guest on this evening. You'll want to know that you can join us in our live chat, have fun with the AWN Core Team. We've got chat room moderator Kristen over there and our veteran listeners. It's at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. If you just want to click to listen to the show, the chat's about midway down the page. Also, you can join us on Twitter, twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork, using hashtag ArmyWife to ask questions and participate tonight.
And we do want to give a huge thanks to our platform, Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, all of our AWN sponsorship team for allowing us to bring you Army Wife Talk Radio tonight.
All right. Well, we don't have a lot of time, I guess, because we've got to get right into some stuff, but I know that you had a good week and had a good Halloween with some crazy weather, though, huh?
Yeah, we had some really some inclement weather, and they, of course, postponed our Halloween until Friday night, but we still had plenty of kiddos on Friday night, and, of course, being the Army family that we are, having to be always flexible, my husband was scheduled for a 3-day drill that at the last minute got canceled and moved to later this month. So
you know, Gumby it up, huh?
We do.
That you had a good Halloween. We had Halloween on Halloween, and like you, we got to do it on the actual night. It didn't rain or anything here. And then we carved some pumpkins, and it wasn't as eventful as we thought it was going to be in this part of the neighborhood. But, you know, it's new, so we're thinking next year might be a little bit more crazy in a good way. So, yeah, and then the only other thing that we're really up to, just to get you caught up quickly here, is the whole team is headed towards Fort Knox. Emily arrived in the States last night, so I got to go meet her and Mallory for dinner last night, gave them a tour of backwards Dallas, where we have to flip around a lot, especially where there's construction. But we finally found the Olive Garden and the Walmart, believe it or not, in Southlake, Texas. And then we went back through Grapevine and dropped Emily back off, and she headed to Louisville, Kentucky, and I head out tomorrow morning. I think you and everybody else, Abby's going to be there tomorrow. Everybody else heads in on Wednesday. So
yep.
The whole team is going to descend by Wednesday evening. The whole team will be descending upon Fort Knox, Kentucky, and we are going to have a really good time. So I'm excited about that. I'm going to miss you being my roommate. Emily is my roommate, I guess. So
yeah.
I shouldn't say that in a bad way. I'm so used to having you. I'll have to come over and hang out in your room a little or something.
You will.
Get my politics on.
Hey,
right,
but we'll have a good time.
We will. It's going to be a great time. Let's talk about what happened to AWN this week.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives. A network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
All right, so over at our AWN Happenings, we've got a couple of really good columns. In our education column, we've got the MyCAA funding. It's a $4,000 scholarship for eligible spouses. And I know that we've talked about this a number of times, but it is worth repeating because with the end of the government shutdown, the MyCAA program is again approving the new applications for financial aid. And, of course, it's making it a perfect time to talk about going back to school and what educational funding is available. So make sure that you check that out. The program is, of course, in no way meant to be the end-all, be-all of the military spouse education funding, but there's a lot of really good information over there, and CareerStep has put together this posting, and it's under the education column. So if you're interested in going back to school and you want to look at what's available to you, it is limited to certain pay grades, but definitely go over and check that out under the education column. And then over under the health and fitness column, Guard Your Health has put together, it's a three-part Keeping Your Family Fit series called Keeping Your Family Fit, Get Active. And it's offering tips and suggestions to help soldiers stay fit and, of course, get your whole family healthier as well. After all, healthy habits do start at home. And so that is the first of a three-part series talking about physical fitness matters, attitudes in your active living, and, of course, family fitness. So if you go over to ArmyWideNetwork.com, and under our columns, hit the health and fitness column and see that latest edition from Guard Your Health. It's a lot of really good information, and, you know, it's never too late to start some healthy habits. So keeping your family fit and get active. So those are a couple of the columns that we've got going on over there, and, of course, there are so many others over there if you just want to go over and browse and find something. There's something for everyone.
Thanks, Paula. Okay, guys, so our Facebook page is just an amazing thing. Every day Kevin and I say, well, what is it up to now? What's it up to now? And I just don't know if it's just snowball effect or what, but we're 66,563. I just have the sneaky suspicion that we're going to be at 100,000 before we know it. It just seems like it's just going so much faster these days. With 15,275 talking about us this week, our hot topics were Halloween dress-up, commissary scanning military IDs. Oh, my!
Oh, yeah.
Tara's personal 5 cents on this one is, yeah, they look at your ID anyway, and they scan it, and they used to check it before you walked into the PX. I just think that things are going back the way they used to be because things have gotten really lax, and people don't know what to do with that. So, you know, you're not supposed to be there without an ID anyway. Why does it matter if they scan it? The graphic quote was, once you figure out who you are and what you love about yourself, then it all falls into place. And that was by Jennifer Aniston. That is a really sweet quote, and we really liked that graphic. Then over on our blog, can't talk today, Loving a Soldier blog, Nicole stressed about, she stressed about desserts, but she says stressed is dessert spelled backwards. Corey had Here Comes Retirement Chapter 2 from the spouse's side in April's To My Deployed Dad to Bad. Sweet, sad, but sad. If you're interested in blogging with us, you can send us an email at info@armywifenetwork.com. But we've got a few PSAs for you tonight.
That's right. And it's time for us to fill the love tanks of military supporters out there and do our duty as good citizens to support them. It's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to 2 per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. If you do, please send it to info@armywifenetwork.com. And we do have a couple of them tonight, the first one being Operation EDU Program. Colorado State University Global Campus recently launched the Operation EDU Initiative. It offers services and resources specifically designed to help active duty service members, veterans, and their families. CSU Global is an accredited nonprofit state university that is part of the Colorado State University system. Its programs are 100% online, and currently at least 1 out of every 10 students is current or former military. The Operation EDU Scholarship Program will award 10 $1,000 scholarships, and the deadline to apply is November 15th. More information about the scholarship is available at csuglobal.edu/military/scholarship. Additional details about CSU Global's efforts to best support the military students can also be found at csuglobal.edu/military. And those links will be available under the announcements on our homepage at armywifenetwork.com. All Sarah, right. You've got one?
I do have one. I was just going to tell you, if you can't see me, hopefully you can see me now. I opened you up another chat. So the exchange is offering $17,000. $17,000 for the best homecoming images. A picture may be worth 1,000 words, but the Army and Air Force Exchange Service's latest contest, a picture and 50 words, is worth $10,000. From November 1st through December 31st, authorized shoppers can enter the Homeward Bound contest by submitting a picture or video of your military welcome home experience along with 50 words or less for a shot at $10,000 exchange grand prize. But there's more. There's also a second-place winner that's going to get a $5,000 card, and a third-place winner is going to take home a $2,000 card. So $17,000 in total. The Homeward Bound contest is open to all authorized exchange shoppers, 18 and older. And complete rules and entry instructions can be found at shopmyexchange.com/homewardbound. Yay! So tonight we have with us Kevin Beagle. He is the creator, writer, and executive producer of the new series on Fox TV called Enlisted. This ought to be fun. It's a if you go to the link right now is fox.com/enlisted. You'll see kind of what the show is about. It's a workplace humor based on the Army. They're a rear detachment unit. It's actually, I spent a little time checking it out. I'm interested to hear what gave them the idea and the premise behind the show. I've heard it compared to MASH. So there's some good stuff to find out tonight. You can follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/enlisted on Fox and twitter.com/enlisted on Fox as well. Our resource of the week is the Mommy MD Guides to Losing Weight and Feeling Great. We've had Mommy MD Guides on before. Awesome stuff. This week we're talking about losing weight and feeling great. Yay! You can find them at mommymdguides.com. And the same thing on Facebook, search Mommy MD Guides, at Mommy MD Guides on Twitter, and then also Mommy MD Guides over there on Pinterest. We have our Me Minute tonight. But first, we've got Corey with our headlines, and she's got some good ones for you tonight, guys. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a minute.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Corey, giving you your need-to-know news. Commissaries will soon begin scanning customers' Department of Defense ID cards at checkouts as the Defense Commissary Agency continues its efforts to deliver a 21st century benefit. The commissary at Fort Lee, Virginia, became the first store to scan ID cards on October 22nd as the first part of an agency-wide rollout to all stores that begins November 10th and will be completed by mid-January. Commissary shoppers are used to showing their ID cards to establish their eligibility to use the commissary. By scanning the ID at the checkout, DECA will no longer need to maintain any personal information on customers in its computer systems, such as the system used for customers who write checks. Scanning will also improve the commissary benefit for all patrons, according to the DECA director and CEO. In addition to verifying customers as authorized commissary patrons, we'll gain information that will give us a better understanding of our patrons, allowing the agency to provide the commissary benefit more effectively and efficiently, he said. Cross-referenced with other DOD data, the scan data will give DECA useful information about patron usage by military service, along with customer demographics that do not identify specific personal data of an individual. This will eventually help the agency identify shopping needs and preferences, information that's essential in today's retail business environment. It will also allow more accurate reporting to the military services on commissary usage. The demographic information DECA will use is strictly limited to card ID number, rank, military status, branch of service, age, household size, and zip codes of residence and duty station. DECA will not be using any personal information such as names, addresses, or phone numbers. The methods, processes, and information we'll use will not compromise our customers' privacy. They can be sure of that. We're putting technology to work better to better understand our customers and ensure the commissary benefit continues to remain relevant to them now and in the future. And it turns out that Houston is the number one place in the nation for veterans to find civilian employment, according to a new study commissioned by USAA and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation's Hiring Our Heroes program. The 2013 Best Places for Veterans Jobs list identifies U.S. metro areas that offer America's new generation of veterans more opportunities to find a military skill-related job. The remainder of the top 10 list includes Dallas, Minneapolis, Oklahoma City, Austin, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, Tampa, Florida, Salt Lake City, Orlando, Florida, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Some of the keys to a successful military separation are planning and preparing well in advance, including determining where you want to live and work, the executive director of military transitions at USAA said. This study and resources like USAA's military separation checklist and military separation assessment tool can help those who have left or are considering leaving the service make their transition as smooth as possible. More than 1 million service members and their families are expected to leave the armed forces over the next 5 years, said Eric Eversole, executive director of Hiring Our Heroes and Navy Reserve Judge Advocate Commander. We must remain vigilant to help these men and women find employment, and this list highlights the top places where veterans can put their skills to work. And in our children's health tip today, some newborns appear to have their days and nights mixed up, sleeping mostly during the day and being more alert at night. The American Academy of Pediatrics suggests how parents can help correct this problem. Develop a consistent routine that clearly differentiates day from night. And during the day, don't worry about keeping things quiet and soothing. At night, however, focus on being calm and quiet. Limit nighttime interactions to feeding, burping, changing, and soothing the baby. And those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6, Corey, signing out.
Thank you, Corey. Guys, stay tuned for more Army Wife Talk Radio. We'll be right back with Enlisted on Fox.
I'll pick you up after school.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live. Here on the Army Wife Network, our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Miss the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry, AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tara Crooks.
And I'm your host, Paula Swanson. Tonight, we have with us Kevin Beagle, the creator, writer, executive producer of Fox's new series, Enlisted, an irreverent but heartfelt single-camera comedy about three brothers on a small Florida Army base and the group of misfits who surround them.
Kevin was the co-creator, executive producer, and co-showrunner, along with Bill Lawrence, of Cougar Town, I don't know if you guys remember that, but I love Cougar Town. A Florida native, he has also written for Scrubs, South Park, Howard Stern, and the Farrelly Brothers. He got his start as a blogger for Ain't It Cool News, which I actually had to go look up. I'm sorry, Kevin. I was like, that is such a cool website. How, see, this is because I hide under rocks. We are pleased and excited to have Kevin with us tonight. Welcome to the show.
Hi. It's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am so excited that you are. We were worried there for a minute. We had some time change difficulties with the software that we use, and we're like, seriously, Fox is coming on tonight? We really wanted to talk to them. So we're really glad that you are here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you calling from Florida then? Do you live in Florida?
No, I live out in California. I wish I lived in Florida, although if my wife hears this, she's going to yell at me for saying I want to move back to Florida. I live out in California, and I'm actually kind of near a set right now for the show. We're shooting, there's kind of a ranger training storyline that we're following for some of the characters. So we're faking Palos Verdes for Florida right now. And it actually is fairly convincing, which I think if you want to do Florida, you basically just need palm trees, sun, and a lot of bougainvillea, and you can pretend you're anywhere.
Yes, you know what, you're right. That pretty much sums up Georgia as well, for some parts of the coastal Georgia that we lived in, at least. Okay, so it's set. It is. You are a Florida native. I just assume Cougar Town is Florida. So, and this is set in Florida. So, are you just writing about home to you, or I mean, where does the?
Yes, it's super self-indulgent. I kind of want to. No one had the market on like Gulf Coast Florida television shows. So I thought if every show I did was set in Florida, maybe someday
then
someone
you totally
will go,
have it.
Hey, there's a show set in Florida, and like my goal in life is if I could walk into like a restaurant in Sarasota and someone says, you get a free sandwich because you set all your shows here, I would not, nothing would make me happier. Again,
that
if my
is
wife
an awesome
heard,
plan.
She'd roll her eyes.
That's an awesome plan, Kevin. So it's you and your wife, and you live in California. Any other family members?
It's me and my wife. We have two daughters. One, the young daughter that was just born like 6 weeks ago, actually.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. But I've also got my two brothers that live out here too. And the show is pretty autobiographical. So the three siblings on the show are pretty much me and my two younger brothers. And I'm the oldest one. And I moved out here first, and then one of them said, "Hey, that sounds like a fun idea." So then he moved out here, and then the other one said, "That sounds like a fun idea." Then he moved out here, and then my parents said, "You better watch after your brothers." And
you were like, "My whole plan was to get away from you guys. Thanks for following me."
Well, and then the funny thing is my sister at one point moved out here, and then my parents said, well, maybe we should move out to California, and I had to finally go, no, please.
You're like, and I'm moving back to Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like follow Kevin around the country, but I didn't want to be that type. So, and now my sister actually moved back to Virginia because her husband's ex-Navy, and they're kind of following that track there, so.
Well, so my next question was going to say any military background, so you do have some relation to the military then.
Yeah. My dad was Army. My grandfather's in the Army. It's Army Navy. My brother-in-law was in the Navy. My uncle was a helicopter pilot. A lot of friends and family, basically growing up, and some friends still serving. So it was a reality of my life when I was younger, and it was a career path that I did consider for a while. And it's just been something that's been kind of present in my life, and I thought it was a world that I knew so many people in the world, and it was always so interesting for so many different reasons. I thought if I ever got a chance to maybe kind of write about it, I think it would be kind of, it would be, it seemed like it was a good thing to do, not just because just for a personal reason, but because it's just something I haven't seen on television in quite some time.
Well, that's true too. Kevin, how do you take a topic as serious as the military and make a comedy out of it?
Well, I think that, you know, it's a great question. I think the answer is you don't shy away from the serious stuff. You know, I think one of the things when we're figuring out this show is look, the reality is, yes, this country has been at war for, you know, over a decade now, and I have friends of friends who've lost people, and it's not. And the last thing I ever want to do is say, "Hey, it's a military show, and we're not going to address any of the more serious issues, the stuff that's heavy." Like that's the reason not to do this show. So right from the get go, we kind of made a real hardcore decision, because I kind of cut my teeth writing on Scrubs, and Scrubs mixed, you know, kind of comical stuff with some very heavy storylines. And I said, if we're going to do the show, it has to absolutely We can be funny, but underneath all of that has to be seriousness, and we have to deal with serious issues, and we have to not be scared to kind of to go after them and say, all right, this is the kind of show we're going to be. So I think hopefully when people watch it, and not just people, hopefully when military families and veterans watch it, they see the kind of show we're doing is something that's respectful, but it's also very much about what soldiers and soldiers' families have to deal with these days.
All right, so you know the question that all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I'm laughing because I think after that, I think it's hard for people maybe hearing this. The only thing maybe they've seen from the show is an awful trailer that's online that even makes my skin crawl when I watch it because I go, oh, God, no. It fully sells the show as like, hey, it's the Wacky Army Show. And, yeah, there's goofy stuff, and it's a workplace comedy, but it absolutely, A, it doesn't at all show kind of the other side of the show, and B, the embarrassing part of it, there's so much stuff in that trailer that's just from the pilot. And I if I had a leg long enough to kick myself, I'd do it every day because there's so much stuff just technically that we got wrong in the pilot that it's embarrassing. So you've got to stop though, Kevin,
and look at like Friends. You know, I mean, you watch the pilot of Friends and you're like, why did I even keep watching this? Like, I mean, for 10 years I watched that show and this pilot.
Oh, it's hot.
You know,
oh, pilot, and you know, there's so many pilots of shows, so many shows that like aren't the show. Like the Seinfeld pilot's crazy, and
exactly.
It's rare to have a pilot that I think kind of really sells the show. You know what it becomes like in 2-3 years. I think that the challenging thing here was that we're not dealing with and you both know this obviously. We're not dealing with a show that's like just a bunch of people hanging out in a bar. Where there's really nothing you got to get right. Here I really believe that we're held to a higher standard. We have to get stuff right, even on a very basic technical level. And I think we honestly failed a lot of that in the pilot. I think we've course corrected and gotten a lot better as far as just the look and, you know, the damn haircuts and people shaving. I mean, it's embarrassing. So I think on a very basic technical level, and we've hired a bunch of consultants just to make sure we get it right, I think we're getting better. But, yeah, pilots are hard. But I think the pilot of this show I'm pretty proud of because I think it's pretty indicative of what at least underneath all the stuff we got wrong, the kind of the heart of it and the thing about how it's about these brothers working together and the meaning of brotherhood is much more than just obviously the familial thing and how the families are just as important as the soldiers that serve. That's what the heart of the show is. So I think that part we got right as far as the pilot.
We're going to dig in a little bit more. I know the first question that everybody had for me was how accurate, you know, is this going to be? And ironically, today, of all days, it really is ironic because we didn't mean it for this to be this way, but over on our Facebook page, we have a little graphic that says, you know you're a military spouse when you cannot watch military television or movies without inspecting and critiquing the language and or the uniform. And so, of course, our first question as military families is, you know, how accurate is it going to be? I mean,
to be honest, I want to try to be. I keep saying to be honest. Like that's what I'm going to just say to be honest before everything. I do really want to be honest. That's how you know I'm fine. Like a little. I don't want to curse, but like if someone's full of BS, they always say like the preamble is always to be honest about stuff. But no, I want to make sure it's as
so
accurate
us,
as possible.
No.
But I want to make sure it's a workplace comedy, and first and foremost, it is a comedy. But I think the technical stuff has to be right. You know, on Scrubs, the thing that was really cool about that show is that we heard from so many doctors, they said, this is the most accurate medical show on television. This is, you know, in an era when there was like 10 other medical shows, this goofy little comedy I worked on, because we took great pains to get the medical stuff right, that had it carried with it kind of a cool little sheen of respect as far as like us kind of doing the legwork to get things right. And I want that to continue on this show. I want us to get everything right as much as we can. Now, there are some liberties that we'll take for comedic effect because it is a comedy, but I assure you, every single one of those, we debate, we talk about, and we really say, is it worth it? So, you know, are you going to see, are people going to be, you know, the haircut's going to be right? Is there going to be 5 o'clock shadows on people? No. You know, we're going to get all that stuff right. The technical stuff we're going to get right, and we really want to, we want military families to look at the show and go, you know what? If they didn't get everything right, they got 98% of the stuff right. That would really mean a lot. That at least that was that people saw that and said, okay, they tried because we are trying. I think sometimes you know we've thrown out stories, we've thrown out jokes just because we look at it and go, that doesn't seem right. That's not how this would happen. That's not how it would go down. And that's according to yeah, the military consultants that we have in the show. We've kind of made an effort to hire vets on the show, too, because I think that's incredibly important in there. We encourage them all to be very vocal when they're on set, to go, guys, when I was in this, we didn't do it like this. And then we see how they did it, and we do it like that. It is,
and then sometimes they say, we did do it like this, and you go, really? I don't know if I can make it that weird.
Well, the best is when you get two people who have totally conflicting opinions, and they're like, when I was at Fort Bliss, we did it like this. I was over here, we did it like that. Just sitting in the middle,
yeah.
Go, well,
that happened, Kevin? Seriously? In the Army, we're so consistent. How could that have happened?
Yeah, right.
So your sarcasm just reached through the phone and punched me in the face.
Did it? I'm the inventor of the sarcasm font for Facebook. I've decided. Oh, holy moly! Now this is a rear DU unit. Okay, so some of the characters look a little overweight. Maybe they're improperly dressed. They're not really fit enough to be in the Army. I mean, is this? Were you afraid when you did this? Because we all kind of have. There's perceptions. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Were you afraid of what the general public might think? Like, oh, all these guys that are staying back on rear detachment, this is what they look like, or guys and gals, I should say. Were you worried about the civilians thinking that?
No, I mean, I was worried. To be honest, I was always worried about what military folk thought. That's what was first and foremost in my head. And we kind of took – we wanted to make sure that it was very clear that this is a very small group of people in the Army. This is not indicative of everyone serving. These are the guys that aren't good enough to get deployed, but not so bad they're going to get booted out. You know, and I've had a couple friends who served on rear Ds, and I kind of culled a lot of stories from them. I think in the pilot we took too many liberties as far as how far we pushed that stuff, and since the pilot we pulled back a little bit. Yes, there is still a bad news bears quality to it, if you want to call it that, but we kind of figured that if you've got this group of characters that you're going to, because the platoon is a very big part of the show. And the main character played by Jeff Stoltz is a squared away great soldier who has been deployed for twice. So he isn't someone who's been held back. We wanted to make sure that the platoon kind of had a place to go, because we figured if everyone was a tip-top perfect soldier right from the get-go, as far as a show like this, there's not as much room for growth. You know, we want to see them get better as people and as soldiers. And if we start at a place where maybe this is a little too overweight and this person's maybe not super great at what they do, there's room for them to grow and get better at it. It kind of gives you like a bit of an emotional arc for as far as someone to just become, you know, better at their job and better as a person, better as a soldier. But yes, it was important. And I think it's inherent in the pilot when people see it in the show that we're certainly not painting these guys as like bumbling and they can't do anything and they can't tie their shoelaces. Every episode has a sense of them trying to accomplish something and being somewhat victorious by the end of it. So they're doing well. They're working hard at it.
We watch Lifetime Army Wives, and I see it as just that. It's a Lifetime drama, people. I mean, they have to make it. If they made it just really about everything about our lives, it would be boring as hell, and no one would watch this damn thing. So, you know, No, go ahead. I was going to say, it can only be so fun, yeah.
No, but it's funny you say that, because when I was coming up basically with the idea for the show, I was talking to my friends, and one of them said, you know, he told me about Rear D. I said, that's interesting. And I read up about Rear D, and there was an article, and the Rear D commander basically said, what we do is important, but it's boring, and no one's ever going to make a TV show about us or write a movie about us. And that immediately, like, I went, of course you have to do something about these people.
You're like, and I
me,
will.
Yeah. I've got the power to do it. Haven't you heard of Cougar Town? It was,
I don't know,
it
Kevin,
like...
if you can write a show about me going to the commissary and working from home doing a radio show, I'll say you're a hero, but... I think the Rear D concept is a good one.
I think the nice thing about it, thank you, I think it's great, because I think the thing about it is, I mean, I don't think I'm great, but I think the idea of doing a Rear D show is great because they are soldiers, they're doing incredibly important stuff, but they're also engaging with the families quite a bit of deployed soldiers. They're also doing kind of the stuff as far as taking care of a base that maybe most people and the general public wouldn't really associate with what a soldier, quote-unquote, does. And I think that's an important... not to get on a soapbox, but get on a little soapbox. I think it is important to go, okay, look, you know, we look at soldiers two ways as far as pop culture. It's either like these guys are these absolute Call of Duty superheroes that don't have any personality, that as far as how they're portrayed in media. They've got no personality. They're just like, you know, the warrior mindset, and you never hear them, you know, you never see them crack a smile. Or they're so ravaged by PTSD that they can't function. And I know for a fact that, yes, both of those sides exist, but there's also a great swath of people in the middle who are who are funny, who are sweet, who love their job, who hate their job, who are great at their job, who are some of the funniest people I've ever met in my life, who have some of the scariest stories I've ever heard. And that's something I think that should be portrayed and be out there, as far as, like, these are the people that are sacrificing everything for this country, and these are interesting stories to tell. And they're a little, there's more nuance, and there's more to them than maybe what you see in, you know, some BS hour-long drama, or, you know, some the Godzilla movie or something, you know. So that, I'll get off my soapbox now.
That's what this is for. This is your soapbox.
This is where you can say all that and do all that. We understand. Believe
me.
We won't
even hang up on you.
Yeah, we'll call everybody.
Well, you know, Kevin, the show has been, you know, compared to the comedy of MASH. And, mm-hmm. of course, we understand that war is a very serious thing. And mm-hmm. with the kind of stories that you are, you know, going to address and that sort of stuff, are you going to be addressing issues like PTSD? Is that something that you're going to touch on?
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's something that I you know, I don't want to give away too much as far as the show, but I can say without a shadow of a doubt, like that, you know, I think other shows, if they were going to do a story about that, they might say, okay, it's a minor character who you'd only see like two scenes over the course of the series, and then we've addressed the issue. And I kind of wanted to go the opposite way. I said, between us, I said, that's horseshit. And I think if you're going to do it, you do it. And you know, we've got one of the main characters on the show who's dealing with stuff. And to me, it seemed like a very interesting dynamic to say, okay, this guy's got two brothers, and they both serve, and he comes back from overseas, and they kind of slowly see, like, well, maybe, you know, things, he's changed a little bit. Like, you know, his experience has affected him, as it would with any human being. I think that's an interesting mm-hmm. thing to write to, and I think it makes the show a heck of a lot more real. So that is something that I think if, you know, the show succeeds, if the show fails, you know, if people think it's funny, you know, think it's funny, think it's not funny, I think I'm more proud of the fact that we're doing stories about that and doing stories about PTSD and about, you know, what it would be like to come back and maybe not feel 100% the same. That to me is, and obviously that's an experience I can't personally speak of, but mm-hmm. I think it's something that if this show has any power, it's to say, okay, we're going to do a story about this and follow this character. And if people like the show, then maybe it can help their perception of PTS a little bit and go, okay, you know what? Maybe they aren't just like the people they write about in the news where there's only – because that's one thing that grinds my gears is when I say, okay, news sites or whatnot will do stuff about PTS, and they'll say it's basically one type of person. Well, that's not true. The symptoms are totally separate, and it affects people totally different ways, and I don't think it's right to just – vilify people because they've got PTSD. I think that's horrible. So if we can maybe open people's minds a little bit when they watch the show and go, wow, this big funny show, hopefully it's big and funny, is actually talking about these issues, and this character is dealing with this thing, and he seems to be doing okay sometimes and other times he's not. Well, that's a more interesting
way to show. Yeah, like a nice guy. He's not just a crazy drunk. Exactly.
Yes, exactly. that's exactly it. I mean, it's a fine movie, but I guess the movie I go to sometimes, there's a movie called Brothers with Tobey Maguire, which, while very well made and very affecting, mm-hmm. seems like that's the only way we can show PTS. It's just a guy screaming on the front lawn. And yes, that's true. And yeah, I know that happens. But there's different levels of it too. And we can't just say every single person going through this is just affected the exact same way. I just don't think that's right.
Absolutely. Exactly. And, you know, hey, I have to tell you, Kevin, that we've got some people in the chat room, and one of the team members made a comment about how maybe I wouldn't have watched this before just viewing the trailer, but just to listen to you talk about the show and how invested in all this you really are, it really makes people go, oh, well, I think maybe I want to watch that. So maybe that's a good thing that you're over here on your soapbox. And on a laughter note, we want to know, are you going to feature things, you know, because you do need to make it like real life, so are you going to have like wives wearing their husband's rank and pulling rank and doing all kinds of crazy stuff like that too?
Oh, absolutely. 100% absolutely.
I mean, since they're working with the families, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. When we were talking about the show, it seemed like, you know, Keith David plays a command sergeant major on the show, and Keith David's great, and he's hilarious, and he's very funny. If you don't know who Keith David is, Keith has been in everything from, he's been in so many movies. Oh, he's been in everything from The Thing and They Live to Requiem for a Dream. I mean, he's an incredible Broadway singer. He's a great actor. And he's great as a command sergeant major, but just to have a guy who's kind of barking orders all the time, well, that's good, but then we said, well, what if we give him a teenage daughter? So he's got to deal with that, too. So it kind of, it rounds him out a little bit. Not that we're doing the wacky show where, you know, it's like he goes home and has to deal with his kid. But, like, we really wanted to make these people seem like real life characters.
Because everyone needs a teenage daughter. This sounds like a lot of commands that we've been through. So yeah. So the whole core team over here at AWN says, if you ever need any help reading material for any of that stuff, then we're here for you.
I know you're joking, but it's
no,
like
we're
I'm
not.
Listening.
We're not joking.
But to have a this is a great storyline would be the podcast like this on the show. Like this is the kind of thing I think is really it's awesome.
Hey, you got our email address, okay?
Hey,
I'm just saying,
okay.
We're here, and we're really not kidding. I mean, I'm laughing, but I'm really not kidding. So, oh my goodness. Well, that kind of answers my next question. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh no. I have a horrible memory, so I'm like, I have to say that thing I was going to say, but I promise I'll say it by the end of this.
You sound so much like me. They're probably cracking up laughing over there. Like, the two of us would be in big trouble. All right, so we talked about how as the show went on, things would progress and it would become a little bit more realistic. Let's see, what else have we not asked you? Well, you talked about who was going to consult on the show. Like, who do you have who consults with you?
Well, the main consultant is a company called Musa, and they do. I think most of them are former Army, but they're great. They're military consultants, and they are there for every single step of the process. They're always on set. They're checking out every single uniform. They're reading the script at every single stage. They're in every single meeting, and they are making sure the thing is as squared away as possible, and that we're getting stuff right. And if stuff is wrong, they aren't. They're not afraid to kind of call us on our BS and go, no, you can't do that, and we adjust and fix it. Like they've been great, and they've worked with tons of people, everyone from Michael Bay to I think they worked on some serialized stuff, but they're great. We've got a few people just on the set every day who are literally vets, who are everything from PAs to stand-ins, who basically can go to and go, hey, you know, they kind of offer their insight. We're working with Wounded Warrior, and we've hired some of their people, and they're on set, and they're offering, you know, their input as well. So it's like, we had a Special Forces guy who was just literally his only job was just to get the wardrobe right, because I was so embarrassed after the pilot. We're like, literally, like the Ranger tab was on the wrong spot. I was like, how the hell did we get that wrong? So he was there to make sure we got every single thing totally, totally right. So again, I say every single thing totally, totally right. I'm sure there's something, you know, we may have screwed up or missed, but it certainly wasn't for lack of trying.
Well, you've got all kinds of, you know, consultants kind of prepping you and that sort of stuff. What are some of the things that the actors have done to prepare for their roles?
Well, it's interesting. Like, we had Keith David's been in a lot of military themed movies and shows, but he wanted to kind of do the boot camp experience as much as all the other actors. Kind of before anyone even got cast, I said, look, if these guys are going to do this show, they've got to go to some form of boot camp. You know, I wanted to – let me take my soapbox out again and get on it. I'm standing on my soapbox again. I want to make sure that our wonderful kind of Hollywood actors had an idea of what it would be like to be a soldier and didn't just kind of come in and go, okay, I'm going to play a soldier and then leave. You know, our actors are great, and I love them, but I just wanted to make sure that they had at least some sense of an idea of what the people that they're portraying would possibly go through. So they did kind of a smaller version of a boot camp, a mini boot camp, with the 1st Armored Division at Fort Bliss. And it was over the course of a couple days, and, you know, they did every single thing that all of those all the soldiers in boot camp would do. You know, they weren't afforded any kind of luxuries, and just because we said, look, it's got to be hard. They got to hate it a little bit. And it was great. And Keith David actually did it, too, because he didn't want to be left out. But it was great because Keith wanted to do the Command Sergeant Major version, so he kind of got to do a little bit different. Like, he got to hang out with the Command Sergeant Major while everyone was marching and running all day. But it was great because the actors, each one of them took away something from the experience that was, like, really special and something I wouldn't even try to put into words, because it's their own important things that they kind of went through and learned and talked to soldiers. And it just – I know it totally altered their – view and perception of the character that they were playing. I know especially like Angelique Cabral, who's playing Sergeant Perez, who's the main female on the show. She had I could honestly say it's a life-changing experience. Those are her words, not mine. It was, she kind of found stuff in herself and found stuff maybe in the character that she didn't even know about, and she's it's crazy. Like between her and Parker Parkley, the youngest brother on the show, they are so they're everyone's engaged. But I think if tomorrow you said someone you know you need to be an actor or a soldier, I think both of those would choose soldiers in a heartbeat.
Hmm. So they learned a lot and had fun doing it too, didn't they?
They had. I don't even know if fun's the word, you know, because I think they didn't. Like I said, like they were. You know, they did the work, and I think it was an experience that they really appreciated and enjoyed. But I don't think they did it, you know, with a giant smile on their face the whole time, just because they were getting worked over. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, they probably had to have some of those comedic moments of it too. You know, I mean, it is serious, but there had to be some lightheartedness about it too.
Well, you know, what's funny. It's like it's a. I know they did have those moments, and I know, like they go to bed, and then at midnight someone storms into the room for a room inspection, and at 3 in the morning storms into the room for a room inspection, and, you know, and at 4 in the morning storms in the room for a room inspection, and at a certain point, like, are we really doing this? And everyone there was like, yeah, we're really doing it. But it was an important experience, and it was the kind of thing where almost like I respect the fact that it was something that they did that I didn't do, and they joke about it, but it's I feel almost kind of wrong kind of honing in on their experience, like saying, hey, all this funny stuff happened. Like those are
right.
You know, that's a lousy answer to John at a radio show, but those are funny stories and experiences that they can talk about that I feel like I don't have the right to kind of talk about. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what we should do is we, after the show has aired a little while, we should have one of them come on and talk to us about that.
Oh, they would, you know. They would all come on in a, they would love to come on. They would absolutely love
would be
to come
fun.
On.
Yeah.
Now that would be
so,
fun.
So you said, we talked earlier when we were doing the intro about how, you know, nobody has really done a show on military in a while. I mean, yes, okay, with the exception of Lifetime Army Wives. No one really has done it since MASH, really. I mean, you know, like especially a comedy. So do you think that it was time for one? Or, I mean, was this a difficult pitch, I guess I should say?
No, to be honest, it wasn't. Like I kind of always knew I wanted to set something in this world, and I knew I wanted to write something that was very, very much about my relationship with my two younger brothers. And it took me a while to kind of figure out, like, hey, maybe we can combine the two into one show. But I really think there hasn't been a military comedy, like you said, in I think maybe 15 years, and maybe that's because people think that all this stuff, soldiers' families, their experiences has to be treated with, like, kid gloves. Like, we're not allowed to talk about that. Like, oh, that's too serious. We can't talk about it. Well, yes, it's serious, but that's exactly why we should talk about it. But, and again, I don't want to say, like, you know, I'm telling stories that are the defining stories of the modern soldier, but I just know too many people who do this job who have such amazing experiences, both good and bad, both joyous and both terrifying, that's where, you know, they're just good stories, and I think good stories should be told, and I think we can maybe not be as tentative as far as in a public sense, you know, in a mass public sense, talking about soldiers and their experiences. It's something that we should be celebrating and seeing, I think, on a weekly basis, and not just relegating to 2-second news clips on the news every single night. I think it's good and right that we're doing a show that's just respectful and celebrates the people that do this job, and shows them as awesome, great, living human beings and not as kind of tropes. So I took my soapbox out 3 times during the Christmas show.
We like it. Whenever you get on your soapbox, everybody says, this guy's a hoot. He needs to come back more often.
I'd love to come back. Can I say the thing I was going to say before I forget? We're going to run
absolutely
a...
Absolutely you can. Yes,
okay,
you can.
We're going to... when the pilot airs in January, we're running a contest. Just speaking to all this damn stuff we got wrong on the show, we're going to run a contest for any service member or their families, you know, veterans, whoever, if you've served, basically, if you watch the pilot, there's a lot of things we got wrong. If you can write down the 20 things we got wrong with the pilot and send it to us, it's going to be a lot of emails. We made up unit coins that basically say, thanks for calling us on our BS, you know, from us. So everyone's going to get, everyone who sends us, I think it's like the first 1,000, I shouldn't say everyone, but if 1,000 people send us, those, you know, letters saying, here's what you got wrong, we will send them those coins. And if more letters come in, we'll just make more coins.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I think we're right. And that's really important to us. And right now, what we're trying to work out is we're trying to do shout outs at the end of every single show from families and such to troops.
Make sure that your publicist, whoever we were getting in contact with, make sure that they know to send that to us, and we'll get that out for you.
Okay. Oh, that would be great. That'd be so helpful. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Make sure they know. Paula's got the contact information. We make sure. Get that going. So you kind of alluded to this as we talked tonight, but what is it that you really hope that soldiers and other service members and civilian – well, first the soldiers and the service members. What do you really hope that they glean from the show?
I hope that they see that we're trying to do a respectful show. We're not doing a satire, that it's coming from a place of love for both the people that do this job and the families that surround the people that do this job. And it would be amazing if every once in a while they pointed to something at the screen and said, hey, they got that right. You know, that little particular thing about my job, about this experience, they actually nailed that. That would mean the world to me. There's with so many, 2 million soldiers and something like 20 million veterans, of course there are going to be people who don't quite see eye to eye with the show and don't like the show for whatever reason, and that's okay. But if as long as people see that, and that's understandable, but as long as people see that it's just coming from a place of respect, it's just coming from a place of love, that's I guess the most important thing. And also I hope people, maybe they can laugh and see parts of their lives and that they can relate to and have a good time for half an hour. And I think for civilians who have no connection to the military, maybe they can watch the show and laugh and enjoy it, but also maybe it'll help their perception a little bit and say, like, oh, okay, yeah, these are normal people just like us. There's no reason to treat them any differently, and we should afford them all the respect that we normally do, but we should also realize that they're going through the same troubles, the same difficulties, and having the same triumphs that we're having. But also that they're dealing with things that we couldn't even possibly begin to understand, but maybe the show will help them understand it a little bit. So, I guess it's all a conversation, and if we can maybe spark a conversation, I think that's the ultimate goal of this thing.
And civilians, what do you want them to get out of it?
I think the civilians part is kind of the second part of what I said. Like, I'd really just hope that they would look at these episodes and say, okay, hey, these soldiers, these people I see, in the airport, and I say, and I thank them for their service, and then I don't think about them after I say that. And I'm not saying everyone does that, but I know that sometimes it's funny. So some soldiers I talk to, like, they almost get annoyed when people feel like enough with that. Like, just engage me as a human being. Well, maybe this can help that, and maybe they can
they don't know how to take a compliment.
Yeah,
my husband sometimes comes off as annoyed. He's not annoyed. He just doesn't know what to do when people do that. But yes, but to see them more as a human and not just a soldier. Like, they have personalities and they're funny and they're sad and
they're hilarious.
I mean, they're people. It's really funny, Kevin, that my daughter and I just had this conversation the other day, and it totally applies to this. I said to Renna, you need to understand that your mommy is a person. That I know you just see me as your mom, but, like, I'm a human, and, I laugh and I cry, and when you say things to me, sometimes it hurts my feelings. I think that that applies there, that these are soldiers and these are their families, and we're always seen as some sort of statistic, or we're thrown across Fox News, or, hopefully this will give them a more lighthearted look, and, we can be just as dumb as all the rest of y'all.
Absolutely. No, I think that's a great – you're 100% right. I think absolutely. And even, in the more – because, yes, it is lighthearted, but you know what? Sometimes the show might be a little heavier, and if that makes people take pause when they see the statistic come across the screen and maybe think about it a little bit more, go, oh, that was a real human living being. That's a living human being. That's not just a soldier, quote-unquote, and you have no relation to. Like, maybe it'll give them even a bigger respect for what they do. So – I hope it just kind of opens people's eyes, civilian-wise, a little bit, and lets them appreciate these men and women who do this job even that much more.
Mm. Well, Kevin, what has the active military and veteran response been to the show so far?
I think it's been a little mixed, to be honest. Here was a real one. Because the only information that's really been out there has been that first trailer. And again, I'm not a big fan of that trailer, and it's way too wacky. And for a show that takes place in the Army to kind of come out in wartime and just seem to be sort of maybe disrespectful, like, I wouldn't like it. So, on a technical level, there's so much wrong technically that's in the pilot. I think some of them have understood, like, hey, they're just doing a comedy. They're trying to do something maybe like MASH, and that's great. If we can ever even get one-tenth of as good as MASH, that'd be amazing. But some people have looked at it and said, oh, there's just too much wrong. And I can assure them that they may not like the comedy, they may not like the drama, but the technical stuff we're going to get as right as we possibly can. It gets way better now.
Good stuff to hear.
No one's going to have long shaggy. They're going to have the covers on every time they're outside.
Now, I before we go, we're going to wrap here in a minute. We're a little bit over, but that's all right. We were having a good time with you tonight. You are doing something about giving back to the military community. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah. We're working with Operation Gratitude. It's an awesome, awesome organization that basically puts care packages together for troops overseas. And we've had I'm trying to start a program now where we've got donations areas on our stages where we shoot over at Fox. So, you know, everyone that comes by stage drops stuff off. And we've had the actors and cast go out and crew go out to Operation Gratitude and help pack. We've done it once. I think we're going to do it again in December. But our real hope is that we can kind of be a pilot program over at Fox, because we shoot at the Fox lot over in Los Angeles. And there's a lot of other stages around us. So if we can be the first program there that kind of does this, and it's the simplest thing in the world. You set up a giant barrel and put Operation Gratitude on it, and people put stuff in there, and it goes to the troops. I don't see why other shows can't do that too. So it would be really great if we can kind of spark something over at Fox, and maybe other shows will start doing it. And if people at Fox do it, maybe other shows on different lots will do it as well.
Oh, that is so cool. Kevin, I so wish I lived closer to California. I need to take a road trip.
Come out and visit.
I think it would be so much fun.
Please come out and visit. It's a nice set, big old open place. And, yeah, I always tell people this, but if people want to come, I'm maybe a knucklehead because I let anyone come onto the set, but if you're in Los Angeles and you can get a hold of me, give me a call and come on down.
Well, don't forget about us little people. We are here if you do want some help. We all, you know, we laughed, but we're serious. We'd love to work with you. Let us know what we can get out to our community. We'd love to hear more about the coin thing and everything. We'll get everybody, you know, hyped up about viewing the show. And I just listening to you and how passionate you are about this, I mean, you can't, like, not the show. So I think everybody knows that.
You.
Well, even if you just got us on there for the pilot, you hooked us already. So you're in good shape.
Well, that's really nice to hear. I'd love to keep staying in contact with you guys. That'd be fantastic. And it was really nice doing your show. It was great talking to you.
That was great. We had a good time.
Thanks
all right.
So
well,
much.
Thanks so much for taking out time tonight to meet with us. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. And thank you so much for everything you guys do.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Don't go
anywhere, guys. Up next is Janet with our Resource of the Week. Stay tuned. More Army Wife Talk Radio coming right up.
This is Army Wife Talk Radio Live. Give us a call to share your story. Now, it's time for the AWTR Resource of the Week.
Hi, and welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. It's time for our Resource of the Week, and I'm your host, Janet McIntosh. Every week we feature informative resources for you, our military families. And this week we have with us Jennifer Bright, and I hope I say this right, Raish, co-founder and editorial director of the Mommy MD Guides. Their newest book is the Mommy MD Guide to Losing Weight and Feeling Great. Jennifer, are you with me?
Hi, I am. Thank you so much. How are you?
I am so sorry if I chopped your last name up.
That's okay. Thank you for this opportunity. It's actually Jennifer Reich, but thank you so much. I love your show, and I love your Facebook page, and it's just a pleasure to be talking with you today.
Oh, well, we're so thrilled to have you on the show. Normally, we start the segment off by having you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thank you so much. Well, I'm a writer and a publisher, but more importantly, I'm a mom of two sons. They're 8 and 6. My husband is a firefighter, and I'm calling you from Allentown, Pennsylvania, which many people might remember is the town that Billy Joel made famous. It's really not that bad. It's really a nice place.
Awesome. So now we know that you have started Mommy MD Guides, and you've made a series of books. Can we start off by you telling us kind of what your company's mission is?
Oh, absolutely. I have a little military experience, and that's something that was very important to me to come up with and sort of crystallize that. And my business partner and I and co-author, her name is Rally McAllister. She's a family physician in Kentucky, and we really have spent some time over the years, and it's come to a simple mission, which is we help moms and dads raise healthier, happier families.
That's excellent. That's such a nice mission to have. We love companies that are doing that for us. Now, I do want to talk about the Mommy MD guidebooks, and you have a series of them. Can you start by telling us how you came up with the idea for the books?
Oh, absolutely. We had worked on several books, actually many books, with other publishing companies in the past. And as I was working on them, a lot of times these health books would have these interesting sidebars, just little tiny elements tucked in the books that could be called things like what the doctor does. And as I was working on those and interviewing doctors, I often thought to myself, but wait a second. If a doctor does something, this is a doctor who's also a mother. Well, that must be the best of the best advice because she's an expert squared. She's a doctor and she's a mom. So she has experience and wisdom from all of that. And so one day I thought to myself, why don't we take that advice that's been kind of relegated to sidebars of these other books and pull that out and make it the focus of a book series? And it was amazing. As I talked to people, they really responded to this idea because I think that women, we just naturally respect the opinion of other women, even more so if they're moms, and even more so if they're moms who are also doctors. And so that's how we got the idea.
Well, yeah, and I think it's easier, too, to relate information. You know, you're more likely maybe to take information from another mom, someone who's been there and done that. Sometimes it's easier to take it from that source than it is technically a doctor.
Exactly, because if the person has walked in your shoes and done what you have, what you're dealing with, their opinion carries so much weight. For example, another part that really helped this idea come into focus for me was when my son, older son, was a baby. He cried a lot, and he didn't sleep much, and I was really at my wit's end. And I talked to my pediatrician about it, and she is a mom of four, and at the time she even had twin babies. And she called me one night after hours and talked to me on the phone for about a half an hour, and she told me, look, this is what I did for my kids. And that just meant so much to me, the thought that here's this doctor who is a mom who has twins, and she makes it through the day. And this is what she did. And that just gave me all the confidence to listen to her and to try it, and it really helped. And so I think that these tips from other moms who are doctors who have been there really has a lot of value.
Yeah, and what a nice doctor.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Now, I mean, any spouse can tell you, and any parent, any spouse that's a parent can tell you, that there are tons of parenting books out there. Can you tell our listeners what makes the Mommy MD guides different from all the other parenting books that are out there?
Oh, absolutely. Well, for one, a lot of the parenting books that are out there are just authored by one single doctor, one single person. And that's great. You know, the person probably did a lot of research and had a lot of good ideas. But to create our books, we interview 60 or even 70 doctors, and we just take the very best of their advice and compile and organize it into our books. And so our books offer just this incredibly vast amount of perspective and viewpoints. We talk to everything from moms who have brand new babies to doctors who are also mothers who are also grandmothers. And so you have just such an incredible array and variety of tips to choose from. Another thing that makes our books different is when I was expecting my first child, I read the book that everybody reads, and it scared the dickens out of me because it just felt like it talked all the time about all these terrible things that could go wrong. And honestly, I stopped reading it because it was giving me panic attacks, which is not good for pregnant women. And so, so Dr. McAllister, when we started our books, we were committed to being as positive as possible. Of course, you know, you have to talk about things can go wrong, and we are careful to present that too. But we really try hard to be positive and talk about the things that are most likely going to go right, not the few crazy, unusual things that are probably never going to happen. So.
No, I agree with you completely. That's one of the things that when I was pregnant with my first child, They thought that I had to take that sugar, the glucose test twice because the first test came back and the numbers they couldn't really tell. And instead of saying, hey, let's retake the test and then, you know, we'll discuss it, she went into this whole spiel about everything that could go wrong. And I remember I went home and immediately called my mom. My mom was ready to fly down. I was freaking out. And then I ended up not even having it after I took the second test. So I totally get what you're saying about, you know, waiting until, you know, we'll worry about that at this point. But right now let's focus on the things that are, you know, going right and worry about that first. But it sounds like the books have more of a like a mommy feel than a clinical feel to it, kind of more like you're talking with other moms rather, even though there are doctors, but more of that type of a feel to the book.
Exactly. What we try to do is offer a magic combination of tip plus story. So when you're
right.
reading our Mommy MD guides, it's not just a laundry list of boring tips. Drink more water, eat more fiber, you know, exercise 30 minutes every day. We've all read that 1,000 times. What we try to do is pull out the interesting stories. You know, our doctors have such fascinating lives, and so we want to tell not just how, you know, not just what they eat, but how they eat it, how do they make it, how do they grocery shop for it, how do they get their kids to eat it. And so you'll find lots of stories. These doctors are amazingly funny. I mean, they have
well,
great,
yeah, and I
wonderful
think it
stories.
Makes, it'll let moms relate better to the book as well, you know, if it's got that kind of content in it rather than just being, you know, clinical facts, do this, 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 and this.
Exactly. We want it to be an interesting read, too. You know, we moms are so busy, we don't have time to read boring stuff. You know, we need, we need to have a little bit of a fun factor to it, too, so.
I agree with you. Now, you guys do have a new book out entitled The Mommy MD Guide to Losing Weight and Feeling Great. What makes the new book different?
Well, thanks so much. We're really excited about it. The e-book is actually out now, and the paperbacks will be here in the middle of November. You can pre-order it now. What
oh,
makes
excellent.
It different? Thank you, thank you. Yeah, the first thing that makes it different is how many times have we read a book about weight loss? There are so many books out there about weight loss. What makes our book different is it talks about losing weight, but it also talks about feeling great. There's an entire half part of the book that talks about feeling great at any size because we all deserve to feel great at any size. And so we talk about how do doctors or also mothers boost their energy? How do they boost their mood? How do they boost their self-esteem? And how do they dress well and apply makeup and fix their hair to look good? So our philosophy is that, yes, you might need to lose a few pounds. You might need to lose a few more than that. But you can feel good every step along the way. So that's the first thing that makes our book different from all the other diet books out there. The second, of course, is what makes all of our Mommy MD Guides books different, and that is what we talked about, that it's filled with advice. Yeah, this is filled with advice of actually 50 different Mommy MD guides, and this is things that they actually have done in their own lives. This isn't something that they learned in medical school necessarily or that they read in a book. This is something that they use for themselves that works.
Well, can you share with our listeners, can you share some of your favorite guide or your favorite tips from the guides?
Oh, absolutely. I often say I have the best job in the world because I get to talk to and meet with these amazing, fascinating women, and I get to learn something new every single day and apply it to my own life. And so I feel very blessed. There's lots of tips that I've learned from my interviews with our doctors that I've actually integrated into my life. The one thing that I love to tell people about is something that I heard about actually when I did the interview for our first book. It's actually a product that I take called Natural Calm. It's a magnesium supplement, and it helps my mood and my kind of tamps down the anxiety and stress a lot. So that's one thing that I've taken away. Another tip that I learned that it was really fascinating to me and has made a big difference in my own weight challenge is one of our Mommy MD guides in our new book, Losing Weight and Feeling Great, says she just adopts a simple practice, which is she doesn't eat any carbs after 7 p.m. And I thought, well, that's so simple. And so I started to do that, and I noticed a real difference that for me, I don't know, everybody has their own triggers, I guess, and things that are hard for them. For me, the challenge is things like chips and crackers and salty snack, things like that. And so if I open a bag of chips or something, it's just the beginning of the end. So I don't even think about those. And, you know, I have maybe a small handful of nuts instead. And so that's a tip that has really made a difference for me. Another
those
thing
are
that
great.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes. Those are awesome. I would have never thought. You learn something new every day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, these people, these mommy and guys are so smart, and they don't have a lot of time, you know, for things that don't work. And so when they have a tip that they use for themselves, I find it's like a really a gem, you know. So
I hear you completely. Now, something our viewers may not know about you is that you did previously serve in the military. So I do want to take a second to thank you for your service. You're appreciated, and we appreciate you. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your service? And then we want to know also how that experience may have impacted your work here.
Oh, thank you. Well, I was so incredibly, incredibly fortunate. I attended the University of Pennsylvania on an Army ROTC scholarship, and when I was commissioned, I was actually part of a program that I don't know if they have it anymore. It's called the Branch Detail Program, where I served as a lieutenant in the Chemical Corps for 2 years, and I was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington. And then after 2 years of that, which was a really great experience, then I got to do more Adjutant General Corps type work. So I was the assistant secretary to the general staff at Fort Lewis. And it was just the most wonderful time. I was so lucky and so fortunate. I learned so much about working and setting goals and working hard and working with other people and myself that just was just the greatest experience and training for everything I've done in my life ever since. So I have learned that has applied to my life now. And it's something that actually pops in my head a lot now as a mom when everything's so busy, crazy all the time, and that is that you don't accomplish the most by working really fast, but by working steadily and focusing. And sometimes I catch myself, you know, working at a frantic pace and trying to multitask and do 4 things at once. And I actually think, no, wait a second, this is not the best way to accomplish anything. You know, slow down, focus, and it has really helped.
That's awesome. And I always love hearing about how military service helps impact those things that we accomplish later, the skills and stuff that we take with us from our service. So, and again, we appreciate your service very much. We are about to run out of time, but I do want to talk real quick about what your company has actually done to give back to that.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're really pleased. We just recently finished donating 200 copies of our books to libraries, especially military libraries, some rural libraries and some inner city libraries. And I can't tell you how happy I was to make up those packets and wrap up those books. And I just sent each one of those books off with love and the thought that I really, really, really hope that there's some service members and their wives that are enjoying our books and being helped by them. It meant a lot to me. And we hope to do a lot more in the future.
Well, and that's so nice of you to donate the books like that. I think that's incredible, and we appreciate that as well.
Thank you.
Now, before we wrap up our session, can you go ahead and tell our listeners where they can find more information about the Mommy MD guides and how they could get their hands on their own copies?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Our website is www.mommymdguides.com. Of course, we have a Facebook page that you can link to right from there, and Twitter and Pinterest. And our books are available on Amazon.com, on our website for a discount always and a free gift, and also in bookstores nationwide. If it's not physically on the shelf, they can order it for you. I wanted to mention something exciting. We're going to kick off a giveaway on our site tomorrow. If you visit our website, mommymdguides.com, you can enter for a chance to win a free copy of our new book and also some special surprise gifts from Disney. So we're really excited.
Oh, wow, awesome. We always love giveaways.
Yeah, please check it out. We'll be promoting that for the next couple of weeks. So I would really, really love if one of your listeners won a copy of our book.
Oh, that's awesome, and we'll definitely help promote that for you. Jennifer, I can't thank you enough for being with us tonight and telling us more about the Mommy MD guides.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It was so nice talking with you, and thank you for the wonderful work that you do.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and thank you for being with us.
Take care. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
AWTR listeners, stay tuned for our AWTR Minute and more information about what's coming up next week on our show.
Looking for more resources? Visit us on the web at armywifenetwork.com. Browse our resource database. Submit your field problem question. Request field problems to be published in your area. Find tons of Army family empowerment, a directory of Army posts worldwide, message boards, live chat, and much, much more. Go to armywifenetwork.com. That's armywifenetwork.com.
This is Maria Murphy with Simply Put Together in the Me Minute. I find creating a daily to-do list reminds me what is important and what I want to get done. It's a way to feel in control and be more relaxed. Here's my easy-to-use tool. A sheet of copy paper folded in thirds. At the top of each section goes the following. To-do, people to contact, and errands. Take 5 minutes and categorize everything you want to do on that list. And don't forget fun things for yourself. Then use the list as your guide throughout the day. The trick of it is not only the three categories, but folding it in thirds. The things you aren't working on are out of sight, which can reduce that overwhelmed feeling we get when we see a long to-do list. This is Maria Murphy. You can go to simplyputtogether.com to sign up for my free e-letter and get a free copy of 30 Minutes for Me.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Well, guys, thanks so much for listening to our show. Sorry about that little glitch in the beginning, but what a great show. Join us next week. It's November 11th, and we are featuring Dr. Kathy Groover, author of the new book, Conquer Your Stress with Mind and Body Techniques. I needed some of that tonight. Our resource of the week is my good friend Mary Hunt, author of The Smart Woman's Guide to Planning for Retirement.
And, of course, in the meantime, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/ArmyWifeNetwork, and our blog, lovingasoldier.com. But don't forget to soak up all the knowledge available on our main site of ArmyWifeNetwork.com.
We'll see you guys at Fort Knox, Kentucky in just a few days. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives, and this is Army Wife Talk Radio's Crooks and Swanson and your AWN core team signing out. Have a great night.
Good night.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.